What is good? What is good? What is really good? Girls, children of all ages. Yes, I have combined both of our intros. My name is Nixon. That man right there next to me is Hollywood J Black. And welcome to the NFL preview. I have been promising these videos for quite some time now. And we are finally recording them because we actually have time. What's up, Mr. Black?
Yes. When you do NFL preview, you have to put more chutzpah in it. You gotta go NFL preview.
See? How about this? NFL, we don't even know if we're having a season yet.
Because we'll work with that one, right? Because that's seemingly where we're at this point, because we're in a rough phase of this COVID-19 BS, and the majority of colleges have opted out so far. That's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, because college football, they don't want to put their teams in a bubble because they still consider their student athletes just students, because they don't want to pay them extra money for performing like a professional. So that's where NCAA is at right now. But today, my friend, today we will be talking about the AFC North. And we're going to be doing predictions, going over schedules, draft picks, their COVID holdouts, their signees, and all that jazz. So why don't we just get right into it right now and talk about the worst team in the NFL last year and the AFC North. We will be talking about the Cincinnati Bengals, who had a 2019 record of 2-14.
Yes, and the Bengals, when they stepped into the season, they had high hopes. They had Andy Dalton. And remember, we talked about this as the Bengals being the odd man out in a division with the Browns, a division with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, a division with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We said that the Bengals, even through with their star players being healthy, they were still going to be the odd man out last season, and that's exactly what happened. They started the season with everyone.
They weren't the odd man out. They were the shit of the NFL.
You're not wrong, okay? You're not wrong. When they started the season, everybody was healthy. A.J. Green was good. Tyler Eifert was good for the first time in two seasons. Your man Andy Dalton was looking phenomenal in the preseason. We thought everything was going to be okay. Then A.J. Green goes down. Then Tyler Eifert goes down.
Then Joe Mixon doesn't perform the way he performed here.
And then Andy Dalton goes down. And it was just a fuckhole, pretty much.
Well, can we attest this to them actually not having Vontaze Burfict? Because if you think about it, every year they made the playoffs, Vontaze Burfict was on that defense, whether he was helmeting motherfuckers or not. He was there every year.
Are you saying that he was their big motivating factor?
Knock the motherfucker out and get to the playoffs.
Because he was suspended all of the previous season, and then the Bengals didn't make the playoffs. And then he left and went to a different team this year.
He went to Oakland last year. Then got suspended for the season for another helmet-to-helmet hit. He didn't even do it during a game. He did it in practice.
Not a game. We're talking about practice, bro. We're talking about practice.
So I know we're not talking about the Oakland Raiders right now, but Don Gruden. We want people with high caliber personalities. The very next day, they signed Vontaze Burfict and Richie Incognito.
Oh, and Antonio Brown. So, you know.
And Antonio Brown. But, hey, let's not get off on the negative here. Let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. So I'm looking here at their signings during the offseason.
Yes.
And some of their notable signings are DJ Reed, tackle from the Houston Texans, yep. Trey Waynes from the Vikings, Kenzie Alexander from the Vikings, Xavier Suafilo from the Cowboys, Josh Bynes from the Ravens, Mike Thomas, the wide receiver from the Rams, Von Bell from the Saints. That's a big pickup right there. LaShawn Sims from the Titans. And they're bringing up from the XFL, Jacques Petri, who played for the Tampa Bay Vipers in the XFL.
Yes, that's a big deal to me because these XFL talents are finding homes in the NFL after the wonderful season that a lot of these dudes really had. So it's actually really good to see these guys, you know, getting a shot and being able to perform in the NFL. Now, as you notice, I think two of the three first names that you mentioned were offensive linemen, I think, right?
They only picked up – the only offensive lineman they picked up was Xavier Suafilo.
Suafilo, okay. So I know
Trey Waynes and Alexander are both
corners. Okay. So I know Suafilo. So we're going to – I guess we're going to get to it because we got to talk about who they drafted because that's the biggest deal.
Actually, real quick, let me just add this up here real quick. So these are the draft picks that they have of – that with a big splash. We have Joe Burrow, Key Higgins, Logan Wilson, Akeem Davis-Gaithier, Khalid Kareem, Hakeem Adeniji, and Marcus Bailey. Those are the 2020 Cincinnati draft picks.
And see, if you take a look at the first row after Joe Burrow, those are guys that are, those are day one starters as long as they come into the camp and perform. However, this is still the Cincinnati Bengals. This isn't going to be good for Joe Burrow. This is going to be rough. Joe Burrow is going to be going from used to winning and being, you know, king of the mountain to automatically going down to the bottom and having to work his way up.
And it's going to be weird. I know we talk about Tom Brady not being in New England and all that. It's really going to be weird not seeing Andy Dalton as a quarterback as the Cincinnati Bengals for a whole season.
Yeah, it is, right? Andy is in, what, Dallas now, right? Is that where he is?
He's the guy who's going to take Dak Prescott's shot. Dak Prescott keeps turning down big contracts.
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. We'll get to that scenario. But it's not like – so this new coach that came in this past year, he had a system, and it wasn't a bad system. He just – he had too many things bad happen all at once, and he couldn't recover from it. Yeah. So it's not like this was going to be his fault. The problem is now is that it's a youth movement now in Cincinnati, right? And you're going to have to teach a bunch of young guys and a bunch of young free agents your system in a division with probably the most established people in there. I mean, we already know about Mike Tomlin, who could probably outcoach most coaches in the NFL, not named Bill Belichick.
He also likes to – trip kickoff returners and judges and referees on the sideline. But let's not get into that right now.
we have who the hell is the coach of the Browns now? What the fuck? Is it still Kitchens?
Yeah, Freddie Kitchens is still there.
Why?
Because it's only his second year.
Oh, my fucking God. Ryan, we'll get to that in a second because we talked Yes, I know. The Ryan Lindley is the quarterback coach, and we'll get to that when we get to the Browns. I just don't know. Anyways, sorry. We've gone off on another tangent. My bad, okay?
Okay, so if anybody's watching this, we have a tendency to do this sometimes. We'll go, bee, and then come back to the topic. So just bear with us, all right?
Just bear with us because it's a lot to take in, okay? That's what she said. I know, all right? Anyways.
You did not see what I just did.
That's why you got to subscribe to the YouTube channel, damn it. Anyways, so you have Freddie Kitchens, who's meh, but he has one of the most experienced defensive coordinators, so that's going to be rough. And then, of course, you got John Harbaugh, who is fucking John Harbaugh. That's enough said, and you got to deal with Lamar Jackson. This is going to be rough for the Cincinnati Bengals, and you got to play those teams six times this year.
Well, right now, why don't we go over their schedule and then we can see what they're working up against, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so for their schedule, week one, they have the Los Angeles Chargers. Week two, they have the Browns. Week three, they have the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep.
Week four, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Week five, the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
Week six, the Indianapolis Colts. Week yep. seven, another Browns game. Week eight, the Titans. Then they have their bye week in week nine.
Yeah.
Week 10, they got Pittsburgh. Then they got the Washington football team. They got the Giants, the Dolphins, Cowboys, the Steelers, the Texans, and the Ravens again. What is interesting about the schedule is they play two of their division rivals twice before the bye week and then twice after the bye week, the same team, which is kind of weird.
Yeah. So the Chargers, the Chargers game. All right. So this is where I'm gonna break it down. So the Chargers game is gonna be, oh fuck these two teams game. We gotta see what the fuck happens. So we already know how that's gonna go.
Yeah, you're right.
The Browns, that's gonna be a rough one. The real test of where they stand as a team is probably gonna be the Eagles game. Because the Eagles are no slouches. They're coming in healthy. If the Eagles are healthy, but the Eagles have a tendency to lose games as well. So that's why it's kind of that's your measuring stick. Can we compete with the rest of the NFL, or how far off are we by the time we get to week three from competing for the rest of the year? Carson Wentz is no slouch. He has no receivers. Nelson Aguilar has stolen hands. We know this, okay?
Nelson Aguilar is no longer there.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to get at, though, because, shit, who is there? I don't know. That's not the point of the conversation. The point is that Carson Wentz is one of the most dangerous quarterbacks. He's a stat put-upper. And I know people will be like, oh, Carson Wentz, he's good. I mean, he could be better, but he's good, okay? I don't think by the time you get anywhere else that you're going to have anywhere else that's going to give you that kind of challenge from a quarterback standpoint. Because Gardner Minshew may be in week four, but Lamar Jackson is completely something else, right? Phillip Rivers is old. And then you got Baker Mayfield again. Tennessee, they are who we think they are. And then you have the Steelers. And then you have the Washington football team. This is a mess.
So I'm looking at the schedule right now, and it's hard for me to even see two wins on the schedule. I think they start off the season 1-0 because I don't trust the Chargers. But then I think they lose 15 straight.
I don't even think they beat the Chargers. If they're going to win one, with Joe Burrow getting where he needs to go, it's going to be the Washington football team.
All right, so I'm predicting a 1-15 record for you. What do you got?
2-14, 3-13 at the most. I'd say I'll give you 2-14.
2-14? All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Bengals have some rough sledding ahead of them this season.
Yes.
I don't really trust anybody in that organization. Who's their head coach? Zach Taylor.
Yeah, that's it. His offer, the system that he implemented was good. In fact, to the point where I think the backups were thriving but just weren't winning games. You know what I'm saying? It's not that they were bad. They were just young. But they've gotten younger now. They haven't gotten older and more experienced. They've gotten younger. They got a new quarterback. They brought in new receivers, new tight end. Defense is the only holdover from the Marvin Lewis era. But even then, they implemented a new type of defense. And they got younger on that front. So it's going to be
I forgot to mention, they had two COVID holdouts. Offensive tackle Isaiah Prince and defensive lineman Josh Tupou.
Yeah, I know who Tupou is. I'm not familiar with Prince, but I know who Tupou is. So it's gonna be a rough one for the Bengals. We're not even gonna sit here and lie. So
All right, so Yeah, I got 1-15 for the Bengals. He's got 2-14, a replay of their 2019 record.
Yeah.
So next up, we are going with the team that that is on paper best team in the NFL, but performance wise, kind of shitty. We have the Cleveland Browns, who in 2019, me and Hollywood J. Black made the big mistake of picking them to win this division. They went 6-10 and shoved. It just showed nothing, actually.
Yeah, we fell into the trap of talent versus reality. The talent is there. The reality is that had they probably not changed coaches and went with Greg Williams the whole entire time, that they would be a playoff team. I understand that Freddie Kitchens was the offensive coordinator in the middle of the season, but keep in mind, in the middle of the season prior.
They did fire Freddie Kitchens. Their head coach is Kevin Stefanski.
Oh, Stefanski, that's right. I remember now. I remember. So this is even worse because now I don't even know what Stefanski represents. So,
hey, you ready for this real quick before you keep going? Mm-hmm. Offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt.
Hey, listen. Alex Van Pelt was the offensive coordinator, was the quarterback coach when Tyrod Taylor has really good season in Buffalo.
All right, I'll give you that one.
So I have some faith in Alex Van Pelt. AVP for MVP. Remember that? Remember the NFL 2K5? AVP for MVP, baby.
This offseason, the Browns added a lot of players. They in this offseason, they signed Andrew Billings, Adrian Claiborne, yep, Jack Conklin, B.J. Goodson, Austin Hooper, Kevin Johnson, Carl Joseph, Case Keenum, JoJo Natson, Donovan Olumba, and Andrew Sendejo. There's a couple of really good names there, like Adrian Claiborne. Andrew Sendejo is pretty good. Austin Hooper is a tight end. I think since Ojiwe was out, I think that he might be the biggest contributor from that.
Yeah, well, you know how it goes. I think that Stefanski gets him on the level. I don't think that this is going to be a rough one because right now the Browns are, to me, an 8-8 team. And I'll break all this down, and I'll tell you and explain why. So Baker Mayfield has the talent. They need to do what they did last year when they were winning. You know what the formula was winning last year was? Running the goddamn football. That's what the formula was. What they don't realize is that Baker Mayfield is extremely talented, but he's not Peyton Manning. And last year, I felt that Freddie Kitchens tried to turn him into Peyton Manning, where he could just throw to anyone and everyone and do it. And that's not how Baker Mayfield works. When Baker Mayfield was in Oklahoma, he had two of the best running backs in college football for 3 years straight or 2 years straight, whatever the case may be. Samaj Perine and another dude, which was like amazing. And those running backs ran for like 2,700 yards probably. And Baker Mayfield put up historic numbers because everybody was afraid of the Oklahoma running game. And Baker Mayfield took advantage of that. Last year, and the year before, Cleveland had two of the best running backs in the NFL. And what did they decide to do? Pass, motherfucker, pass. Why? Why the fuck would you do this?
All right, so as you talk about running backs, last year they didn't have Kareem Hunt for half the season due to suspension.
Yeah, but they had Carlos Hyde and
Nick Chubb. And Nick Chubb beast.
Yeah, they both were balling last year. When both of them got the chance to run the ball, then Carlos Hyde, before he got traded, because Kareem Hunt came back and there was an opportunity to flip Carlos Hyde. And they did. They flipped him to the Texans, I believe it was.
Yeah.
So we understood that. Like, that was understood. You're getting Kareem Hunt. and you're getting rid of Carlos Hyde, and you're going to bring Kareem Hunt knows the playbook, and when Kareem Hunt did play, and a little bit that he did play, he performed fairly decent. But why do you build a two-headed monster at running back and then not use those two-headed monsters when you have complete control of a football game? If you know it's raining and storming outside.
Because Freddie Kitchens is an idiot.
Which is why he doesn't have a fucking job anymore.
All right, so let's go into the draft picks real quick. I only have a picture of four of them, but I'll go through that whole list that they did. So in the draft, they drafted Jedrick Wills, an offensive tackle from Alabama,
yep.
Grant Delp, the safety from LSU, Jordan Elliott, the defensive tackle from the Mizzou, Jacob Phillips from LSU, and then the later rounds, they drafted Harrison Bryant, a tight end from Florida Atlantic, mm-hmm. Nick Harris, the center from Washington, and Donovan Peoples-Jones, wide receiver out of Michigan.
Well, Jedrick Willis is in to replace Joe Thomas, who retired this year. Grant Delp is
Joe Thomas should have went somewhere else and actually got a ring. But if anybody deserved a ring in the last decade in the NFL, it's Joe Thomas because he showed all the loyalty.
Well, listen. Joe Thomas was the best. Joe Thomas was there when Kelly Holcomb was the quarterback.
Kelly Holcomb.
Remember when Kelly Holcomb had a historic season? That's right. I said those words. Kelly Holcomb had a historic NFL season.
The thing about that man is not Kelly Holcomb, but Joe Thomas, is everybody thought he had character issues. And all he did was go fishing with his dad during the draft. That's what he did.
Yeah.
And he came out being one of the best offensive linemen of all time for one of the worst franchises of all time.
Exactly. That man was there through the bullshit. But the fucked up part about it is that he had an opportunity to go somewhere else 4 years ago. Like, when the Browns were really at their fucking worst, okay? When Johnny Manziel was there, all right? This is the bottom of the barrel. Like, this was an opportunity to go somewhere else. You remember this. This was in the 2015. Johnny Manziel was there. And he had an opportunity to leave, and he chose to stay loyal to the Cleveland Browns. Nobody will ever tell me that Joe Thomas is not a good fucking human being. And the dude deserves fucking angel wings. He should be the first nigga to go to heaven. Like, when he dies, he needs to skip the whole fucking line that goes to heaven and be like, nigga, you played tackle and was loyal to the Browns. Get your ass in here, nigga. Just fuck everybody else. Express lane. There's only a few express lane motherfuckers, and Joe Thomas is one of those two.
Yeah. And like I said, they're like, oh, Joe Thomas has character issues. He didn't even go to the draft. The motherfucker went fishing with his pops.
Yeah, exactly. nigga, you and me would kill, and on a sensitive note, you and me would kill to do something with our dad, knowing the situation, right? You know what I'm saying? And so that's an opportunity because tomorrow's not promised. Let the man go fishing with his damn dad. Character issues. This is why we start this show. Fuck ESPN. You know?
If you can't tell, myself and Mr. Black are only biased towards two things: the Patriots and the 49ers.
Yeah.
Else, but both of us also ended, and we will talk negative about our teams if they deserve it.
Yes, wholeheartedly talk super negative. Hey, my team's got problems, and when we get to the NFC West, we got a lot of problems to talk about.
And if anybody missed it, a few weeks ago, we were talking about Cam Newton in New England, and I had this man across from me convinced and another Patriots fan convinced that I thought the Buffalo Bills were a better team.
And I said, you're on crack. C-R-A-C-K. And crack, what you're on now.
All right. Let me talk about the – all right, so the Browns had five players, just five players opt out due to COVID. That is defensive tackle Andrew Billings, offensive tackle Drake Dorbeck, offensive guard Drew Forbes, offensive mm-hmm. guard Kobe Gassett, and offensive guard Malcolm Frisian. Damn, that's half their backup offensive line opted out for COVID.
That's because they don't want to grab anybody's balls in between their legs. I mean, oh my bad. This is isn't that how you get COVID? No, no. Okay, my bad. All right. Anyways,
no. If it was, then homeboy Bianna Anatu, the dude on Raw Underground, who grabbed that dude by the dick, he would have COVID right now.
Grab him by the dick. He did the inverted Donald Trump. No.
And take a look at the statement about they got the Baltimore Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Washington Football Team, the Dallas Cowboys, the Indianapolis Colts, the Bengals, the Raiders, and they share their bye week with the Bengals. Then they got the Texans, the Eagles, the Titans, the Ravens, the Giants, the Jets, and the Steelers.
Oh, Jesus, man.
How are they going to count out the Colts over there? I don't know, but I was able to do it. And we five?
Yeah.
This is a rough schedule, man.
I'm still looking at this fucking schedule. This whole fucking schedule is fucking fucked. Fuck.
So, we're looking at it right now, and I think that they are going to be better than they were last year because they're going to have more team chemistry. Odell Beckham actually healthy. Jarvis Landry's healthy. They're going to have Hunt for the whole season. I'm actually going to give these guys a I'm going to give these guys a break this year. I'm going to give them an 8-8 record.
Yeah, you see, that's where I was at, 8-8, like, because – I could see the Browns because the Browns played the Ravens and Steelers, and of course they beat the Bengals twice. So it's, I think they can beat the Bengals twice again. I think that they can split with the Ravens and split with the Steelers, because that's just a rivalry. Because all bets are off in any rivalry game. The past that, it's going to be a rough go. Yeah, 8-8 is about where I get. 9-7 is being generous, but 8-8 is just about where I see them.
All right, so got 8-8 on both the Cleveland Browns. So next up, we are going to the Steel City. We're going with the most surprising team in the AFC North last year, a team who everybody had thrown in the dumpster at the beginning of the season, and then even more when Ben Roethlisberger got hurt, and then even more when Myles Garrett tried to put Mason Rudolph's helmet back on his head. At the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, man. So last year was a tumultuous situation for Pittsburgh between, like you said, the Roethlisberger shoulder injury, which he hurt his shoulder in preseason at some point.
And then during the season, he threw a simple lob pass and blew out his elbow.
Yep. And just is like, this is fucked. He's like, I can't do it. He literally said it back, I can't do it. I can't throw. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
We thought Chad Pennington had a noodle arm, but Roethlisberger got a noodle arm after that injury.
Yeah, and he said that he was going to shave his beard once he knew his arm was back in place. Well, recently, he shaved his beard. I think it was like a month ago, he finally shaved the beard. So you already know that means he's ready to go.
He started looking like motherfucking the dude from fucking Home Alone for a while there.
Yeah, right? It does. It was like... Nigga was channeling his inner Ryan Fitzpatrick along, you know what I'm saying? Like he was in the mountains or some shit. But yeah, he's now mostly clean shaven. Shaved that thing up. He's good to go. This is going to be an interesting season. Pittsburgh being at the top of their game is always good for football to me. That's like, you know, it's kind of like one of those traditions, like the Patriots and Tom Brady back in the day with 49ers and Joe Montana. It's just good football when the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing what they do best. What's their running back name? Is James fucking...
Connor?
Yeah, James Connor. Connor is... We found out that he's good, but he's not great. He's no Le'Veon Bell.
We also found out that Juju ain't shit unless you have a dynamic wide receiver on the other side of him.
You know who Juju Smith-Schuster reminds me of? Who's Alvin that? Harper. So you remember Alvin Harper said, give me the big contract because I'm better than Michael Irvin. And what happened when Alvin Harper became the number one receiver in Dallas? Exactly. So.
so they had their defense was better after they traded for Micah Fitzpatrick last year. Mm-hmm. Their defense really turned around.
Yep.
This was a surprising team because going into last season, everybody thought that this was going to be the worst defense in the NFL, and they ended up being, what, their fourth-ranked defense in the NFL last year?
Yeah, and oddly enough, they almost made the playoffs. That was the scary part about the situation.
Yeah, they're one game out.
One game out of making the playoffs, and they did it playing two different backup quarterbacks, a slew of backups on receivers, offensive line, defense, and that's special right there. And that's why
I want to look everybody in the face right now. Let people know that one of the quarterback's name was Duck Rodgers.
Yes. Yeah. Could you imagine had the Steelers made it into the playoffs? I think at that point, yeah, with a quarterback named Duck Rodgers, you know what I'm saying? Imagine they could have gotten any quarterback. They could have picked up a McCown somewhere, one of the two. They could have picked up a guy who shall remain nameless because he's not part of this conversation. They could have picked up Tim Toy. They could have picked up for RG3. Hell, Michael Vick could have came out of retirement and did a better job than a guy named Duck Hodges. But somehow, some fucking way, the Steelers almost made the playoffs. And had they, Mike Tomlin would have automatically had to have been the coach of the year. I don't care if they would have just been one and done in the playoffs. Mike Tomlin, you would have had to give have the fucking award. Because I don't even know anybody that's on your offense. And you got to the fucking playoffs. Here you go.
So, as for the COVID list, the Pittsburgh Steelers are only one of three teams who had no players on COVID reasons.
Hey, everybody wants to play in Pittsburgh. It's a family up there. So, I understand.
Walk up in there like the angry fog beam. Any of you motherfuckers opt out, I'm gonna kill you.
What's that mean? We see the dude, the Russian soccer coach walking in, slapping the shit out of everyone. That's when he came in. If you out for COVID, I will cut you.
All right, so let's talk about some of their additions in this offseason. They got fullback Derek Watt, so they have the second Watt on their team. They got guard Stephon Winston-Niesky from the Chiefs.
Yep.
And probably the biggest move they made is Eric Ebron, who showed out last year for the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, yeah, dude. Eric Ebron, I was really shocked because Eric Ebron is an Antonio Gates type of tight end. And the fact that they brought in Phillip Rivers and say, you know what? Nah, it's good. We don't need a tight end. It's fine. But we'll get to the South in the next episode. I don't fucking – oh, my fucking God. Anyways.
All right, so in the draft picks, they drafted – here we have Chase Claypool, wide receiver out of Notre Dame. We have Alex Highsmith, a linebacker from Charlotte. Anthony McFarland Jr., a running back out of Maryland. Kevin Dobson – offensive lineman out of Louisiana, Antoine Brooks Jr., a safety out of Maryland, and Carlos Davis, a defensive lineman out of Nebraska.
So keep that up again real quick. So Claypool is probably going to be a first-day starter.
Can you see it better now?
Yeah. Highsmith, perfect type of Mike Tomlin guy. McFarland's going to supplement what James Conner does. And Kevin Dotson is going to be one of the new protectors on the line, I believe, in the rotational piece, probably for the pass rush. Brooks and Davis, you never know. Brooks and Davis might make a really good impression in there.
I see Carlos Davis being a special teamer because he was very good at that in Nebraska when he played there. Because the dude can get after it.
Who's not good at special teams in freaking Nebraska? That's the one thing between that and running the goddamn option. That's what Nebraska fucking does. I mean, shit. I think you know Mike Tomlin, he loves special teams. That's kind of his forte. So it's like special teams make the difference, especially when he's out there tripping people. You know what I'm saying? Just making sure things happen. Mike Tomlin embraces special teams, Phil. He embraces it. He really puts his foot in it. You know what I mean?
Ask who was that? The kick returner from the Ravens, who then went and signed with Pittsburgh shortly thereafter.
Yes, because he was convinced. He was convinced that Mike Tomlin really knows how to put his foot in special teams. He really knows how to dig in. You know what I'm saying?
So, do you think in any realm of possibility, do you think Pittsburgh Steelers could end up with the Watt trilogy now that they got Watt at fullback? They got TJ Watt. What would it take for JJ Watt to go to Pittsburgh and play with his brothers?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, he loves Houston. I think it would take Bill O'Brien trading him for a box of cereal. I think that's kind of where we're at this point.
Don't put it past Bill O'Brien, because if somebody's got some of those limited edition Fruit Loops and marshmallows,
he just fucking might. I want a box of cereal and a pack of Pokemon cards. Okay, half a pack. That's my final offer.
Jigglypuff in that motherfucker too.
Yes, it needs to be a special shiny Jigglypuff pack. Okay, goddamn.
All right, so we're gonna go ahead and take a look at the Pittsburgh Steelers schedule. So ignore the preseason because that got canceled.
Yep.
So we have they open up against the Giants. Then they got Denver, Houston, the Tennessee Titans, the Eagles, the Browns, the Ravens. Then they have their bye week 8. Then they come back at Dallas. Then they got the Bengals, Jaguars, Ravens, the Washington Football Team, the Buffalo Bills, the Cincinnati Bengals, Colts, and the Browns to end the season.
So remember, I said they're gonna split the four games. They'll split the Ravens and the Browns. They'll beat the Bengals twice. So that's four wins right there, 4-2. Once you look at it kind of deeper, you see a few wins. I think they can beat Denver.
I think they go 2-0. They'll beat New York and Denver. I think they lose the next three. That Eagles game is a weird one, but Houston and Tennessee, I think they're really good. Again, Houston don't have DeAndre Hopkins no more, so it's
– yeah. So once you factor in all of that, I think we're at some point you got to look at it like – honest to goodness, they're a playoff team. Fully healthy, they are a playoff team.
Yeah, I'm looking at this, and I'm seeing a 10-6 record in my eyes.
I think that's just about where we're at. If anything, if they steal one from the Browns or the Ravens, then it's 11-5. But I doubt that. Because it's hard to beat those two teams twice in the season. I don't think they haven't done it in a minute. But that's what I'm looking at right now. And I even, matter of fact, if you really want me to put money on it, I believe that the Browns game is going to determine whether they get into the playoff. The Browns game in Cleveland.
That's one at the end of the season?
Yep.
Yeah, that's going to be – usually that spot there is reserved for the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. But I think due to the fact that Pittsburgh has taken a step back the last few years, they pushed it up with Cleveland. But it's still going to be a good fucking game. They don't see each other for 11 weeks. And especially because Miles Garrett just signed that big deal in Cleveland. We all know what happened between Pittsburgh and Cleveland last year.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait.
So what are you going with as their record?
I go 10-6. I think that's it. They're a playoff team for sure. They're a 10-6 squad. I believe that, and I think it's going to come down to that last game. at Cleveland. It's gonna be interesting for sure.
Oh yeah. All right, let me get rid of that. Hey, we actually kind of look like a real sports show today.
See, I told you. Add some overlays, make it look nice. See, I told you. I said yesterday that this was gonna be the best season of the Overtime Sports Show yet. So, and we do this NFL preview. It's fun. It's fun. We make it look nice, professional.
So next up, we're going to talk about the team that won the AFC North, the MVP of the league last year. We have to talk about – oh, nope, that's the Pittsburgh Steelers again. We have to talk about 14-2 Baltimore Ravens.
So the Baltimore Ravens were 14-2 for three reasons. The first reason is that everybody thought that Lamar Jackson was a CK7 clone, especially because Greg Roman was the offensive coordinator. And what they didn't realize is that Lamar Jackson is so much more than a CK7 clone. He's his own man with his own arm and his own vision. And he really stepped up from year one to year two. Like, he did a huge leap.
Not bad for a wide receiver playing quarterback, huh? He put up a lot better numbers than Cordell Stewart did when he was doing that shit.
Exactly, right? The second thing is that the defense, including that Humphrey dude, right, I think number 44, that dude, he really came on as the guy to replace Ed Reed in this, as a safety. That dude is something fierce. That dude brought the attitude, like, I think it was the first game or the second game where they had the fight. Was it him and Odell that had that fight? And, like, after that game, that's when the defense was like, let's fucking go. And you saw, like, the old flashes of the old Ravens defense. And the third thing, and I think that was the most important thing, they went all in on the running game. They leaned heavily on the running game, whether it was Lamar Jackson running the ball or Mark Ingram running the ball, or I forget the other dude's name. His name is number 31 or something like that. But he was on the Ravens like forever, and he was running the ball, and like they really leaned in. What did Bill Belichick like to say? You run the ball, play good defense, you can win games. That's exactly what happened. They ran the ball, they played really good defense, won games. The problem that they had is when they got to the playoffs.
The playoffs tell you their problem last year.
Remember, I said that nobody wants to play the Tennessee Titans. I said this. Remember, week 17, you can check back. I said nobody wants to play the Tennessee Titans in the playoffs. They're too fucking streaky, and they don't give a fuck. And Derrick Henry's playing football. Okay.
The funny thing is. People looked at us crazy when we both picked Tennessee over Baltimore in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, they did. They did. I said Tennessee is a problem. And because Tennessee plays the exact – they don't have anybody as dynamic as Lamar Jackson at quarterback, but Ryan Tannehill's no slouch. He came through with the come through. And even –
he came through and got himself a fucking $40-plus million contract.
Mm-hmm. When he was cast off from Miami – when everybody thought that he wasn't going to be shit. But they put him with a running back that knows how to run the fucking football. And lo and fucking behold, it works.
So let's talk about on their COVID list. They lost offensive tackle Andre Smith and wide receiver DeAnthony Thomas are gone from the COVID list. But you talked about that defense. That defense added a young man by the name of Calais Campbell from the Jacksonville Jaguars in the offseason. They also – so here are their pickups from the offseason. Calais Campbell, Nick Moore from the Tampa Bay Vipers in the XFL, Derek Wolfe, Jake Ryan, Parker Aigner, Jarrell Adams, and KenJohn Barnes. I see Derek Wolfe and Calais Campbell on there. Like, how the fuck did these teams that used to have them let these guys get away?
because people are stupid. That's why. That's kind of what it is. And you know, Ravens, they have that experience now. They have the experience factor, and they're gonna make this shit work. Give me just a second. I have an emergency to attend to. Bear with me just a moment. Go ahead and talk about that and the draft picks. I'll be right back.
All right. So, the Baltimore Ravens drafted they took Patrick Queen, a linebacker at LSU, J.K. Dobbins, a running back at Ohio State, Justin Madubuike, a defensive tackle, Devin Duvernay, wide receiver, Malik Harrison, Tyree Phillips, Ben Breeden, Broderick Washington, James Proche, and Geno Stone. Not a lot of big names there. Patrick Queen is a good linebacker. J.K. Dobbins is a decent running back. He will be great behind Mark Ingram this season. With that running game. So.
So listen. Joe Flacco is not the smartest tool in the shed, okay? He thought that he was elite, and he ended up fucking his shit off even worse when he went to Denver, which that's another conversation we'll have when we get to the AFC West. Denver. We knew that the writing was on the wall with Joe Flacco 2 years ago when they had a decent team, an aging team, though, and he just had not improved and not changed who he was and didn't get really better. He actually got progressively worse and progressively unhealthier. That's kind of when you need to make those changes. You kind of have to evaluate yourself and talk to your coach and say, "Coach, let's become a running team because I'm not the quarterback that I used to be." You know, and sometimes that pride gets in the way.
And what I was saying was Joe Flacco, instead of helping Lamar Jackson, decided to buck against the system and not want to help the rookie second-year quarterback.
Well, I know, which is why when he got hurt, it was okay to just say, "Bye, Joe. See you later, bro. Bye."
You know where Joe Flacco is now? Joe Flacco is on the New York Jets.
Oh, did he go to the Jets? Oh, my. Nice. He's going to be third stringer at that point. imagine being a third string quarterback in the New York Jets. Oh, my God. That's – ouch.
Behind the quarterback who feeds ghosts. Remember that shit?
Yeah.
All right, so let's take a look at the Baltimore Ravens schedule here. We have week one, they got the Browns. Then they got the Texans. Ooh, matchup of the year against the Chiefs.
Yep.
Monday Night Football. And they got the Washington football team, the Bengals, the Eagles, the Steelers, the Colts. Well, the Steelers, then they got their bye week. They come back at the Colts. Then Sunday Night Football at the Patriots. Then they got the Titans, the Steelers on Thanksgiving. Followed by the Cowboys, the Browns, the Jaguars, the Giants, and the Bengals.
Yep, just like I said, so the split is good for the Browns and the Steelers, 2-2. They'll beat the Bengals twice. Not to worry about that. So that's 4-2 in the division. Chiefs is going to be something else, the running game versus the passing game. Texas is going to be a good one.
That game might be good, depending on where the Cowboys are at that point in the season.
Yeah. The Eagles are really taking on the AFC North at the beginning of the year. Like,
I think all four of their games in the first 8 weeks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Really. I mean, Rumble, young man, Rumble. Shit. Okay.
In the past, Carson Wentz won't get hurt until the playoffs.
And then the Patriots game in week 10. Oh,
and
man.
And at that point, week 10, we will know what the Patriots are.
Yes. It's going to be Sunday or Sunday night.
You asked a question about Roman Reigns. Who is Roman Reigns and who is Kenny Omega? Who are the New England Patriots now? That's the question.
Well, I'm hoping that they're Cam Newton's New England Patriots. That's what I'm hoping. Will that actually happen is going to be something that we'll talk about when we talk about the East.
I'm looking at the schedule. I see one, the two, so three, four, five. five games, maybe six, that they could potentially lose on this schedule.
Yeah.
And that is the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Cowboys, the games against one game against the Browns, one game against the Steelers, and that game against the Texans, I mean the Titans, because have they learned their lesson about defending Derrick Henry?
I hope so. I mean, but Derrick Henry's playing happy now, so
I think the Baltimore Ravens take a step back this year. I think they go 12-4.
That's kind of where I was feeling. Let's call it 12-4.
That's because it's not the most difficult schedule, but they do have some matchups in here that can cause them problems.
Yeah. I mean, defensive-wise, because this is what I look at, okay? Once we get to the Steelers game, after the Steelers game at home, it gets really rough because you got Colts and Indy, Patriots and New England, then at Steelers on Thanksgiving, then at the Browns and at the Bengals. They're playing the majority of their games on the road.
Back half of the season. Yeah.
That's something that you got to take into consideration. And they're starting home, away, home, away, home, away, home, away. Like, there's no consistency there.
Home, away, home, away, away, home, away, home, home, away.
Away, home.
Yeah, it's weird, their schedule.
I agree with 12-4, but there's a potential for a sleeper upset with Dallas on Thursday night.
Which, like I said, we'll know what week 10 matchup will be in the week 13. We'll know what both of those teams will be. Because, like you said, the NFL is always better when the Cowboys and the Patriots are good.
Yeah. It's week 13 is a trap game because they're going to come in from Sunday, then play Thursday at Steelers, which they could potentially lose, and then have to play again on Thursday against Dallas.
Even following up with that Monday night against the Browns is going to be rough.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. Even with the 4 days extra rest, they go against the Browns on Monday night at Cleveland, and you know how that's going to go. Oh boy,
Monday.
Yeah. So yeah, 12-4. I agree with 12-4. They just got a potential. They might lose one. Man. Just give it. Put an asterisk next to mine. 12-4 with a caveat. It won't count.
12-4. Maybe 11-5.
Yeah, exactly. And it won't count against our official standings, but we'll go 12-4 with an asterisk. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Shit. So
all right. So this has been the AFC North rundown. We are a Sinful Black Entertainment. This is the NFL preview. If we have a season, there we go. Hollywood, you got anything to say to the folks?
Just make sure you this is part 1 of 4. So make sure you check out the next 3 parts of this. We're gonna go part 1 of 8. I'm sorry. We're going through all the divisions, breakdown, rundown, the whole jazz. Make sure you follow us, like us, subscribe us. This will also be on the podcast when this drops on the video. So if you don't like looking at our ugly faces, maybe you like listening to our wonderful voices. And you can listen to us while you're driving to work and have us clown your favorite team. Who knows? It's going to be fun, ladies and gentlemen. So definitely check us out. Like and subscribe us on every page that you can follow.
And so, with that being said, also, if you're on YouTube, if you like and subscribe, also hit that bell so you know when the rest of the series pops up on the YouTube channel. If you're on Facebook, like and follow, share with your friends. Be like, hey, these clown motherfuckers be talking shit about your team. Go to minute 32 of this video. Listen to what Big Sid had to say about Joe Flacco punk ass. My name is Big Sin. That's Hollywood J. Black right there. And we are out this bitch. Deuces.